Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go to Ephesians 5. Extremely important message. Well, I suppose every message is extremely important. You need to get this in our minds. While you're looking it up, we're going to be reading from verse 6. I'm just going to pray. Father God, we entrust this sharing of your word to you. It is your word. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, you, the inspiration of this word, inspire us now to receive and to share, that we might receive revelation, Lord. The eyes of our understanding might be enlightened, Lord. To have a better glimpse of what it is that you've called us to be and do, and how we must function. Thank you, Lord, that no unclean spirit has any hope of interfering with this word, in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. I want to read Ephesians 5, verse 25. All right. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That's a phrase I'm going to be focusing on, but I'm just going to read the rest. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the blood. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Amen. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Right now, the point I want to make this evening, very pronounced, is that the Lord loves the church. Amen. He loves his body. And by extension, we as parts of that body need to learn to love his body. One of the saddest things, I think, for me and for the church as I see it, is that people seem to hold the body of Christ in such poor regard. Such poor regard. So many people say, I'm quite happy with my relationship with the Lord, but don't ask me to go to church. That's a contradiction in terms. A contradiction in terms. You cannot love the Lord without loving his body. Did you know that? It's a package deal. Imagine taking a young lady out and you're going to propose to her. And you say to her, I love your face, I love your head, but the rest I don't want anything to do with it. And you're proposing. Do you think she's going to say yes? No. You see, it's absurd, isn't it? It's absolutely absurd. You marry the person. Warts and all, so they say. But, I mean, it's a package deal. Amen? And did you know that when you and I come into relation with the Lord Yeshua, it's a package deal. We marry his church. There's a covenant relationship. And you see, God's made it that way, I believe. Because, you see, it's all very well to say you love the God that you cannot see, the all-provider, the perfect one. Amen. What's the difficult part? Loving the people that are part of his body. Amen. Because they're not perfect. None of us is perfect. Amen. But now I want to tie this all up with, we were speaking about prophecy. All ties together, actually. Last week and the week before, we've been sharing that, you know, coming to church is not a case of sitting and doing nothing. I hope you will grasp that now. We're supposed to be living stones. It's the duty of those officiating, let me call it that. I think that's the best term for this pastoral role, so to speak. When it comes to the body of Christ, merely officiate. Convene, be the coordinator more than anything else. And you see, the opportunity must be given for every member to be alive, to come alive. Amen? By first education, understanding, you see, simple understanding. And it's not that difficult, really. I mean, last week, we had somebody sitting where Ruth is sitting now. No names mentioned. She struggled to pray at the beginning. Did you know that? It was an effort, a bridge too far because of her background to pray for the congregation. To pray, just to pray out aloud for me as I was going to share the word. She overcame that and she prayed a beautiful prayer. By the end of the meeting, she was prophesying over somebody. Prophesying. And can I say, a beautiful prophecy. And I will mention that you prophesied over Janet, and Janet said she hasn't had a prophecy like that for a long time. And vice versa, I found out that Janet prophesied for her, and she told Stacy that it had to be God because, you know, nobody could have known. Now, what am I saying? We were operating according to the Bible. Can you all say amen? The way it's supposed to be. I hope you're getting this. Because you see, the stones have got to come alive. Every one of us here. And my job is to, as far as I can, encourage, educate, and give the environment. Create an environment where you and I can be the living stones God wants us to be. Can you all say amen to that? Is that too difficult to understand? It's my job here to try and impress you with how I can preach the word. Dear God. You know, we broadcast these things. This is all Tim's doing, by the way. And with the outfit that we are registered, you can track wherever the message is being heard. And the most strange places are listening to our messages. Now, please don't get the impression that, oh, we've got a massive internet church. We don't. Tim would like us to think that, you see. He's creating this impression. When he says China, okay, by the way, which has 1.3 billion people, we've had exactly one person listen to us. So, I mean, that's really awesome, isn't it? But strange places like Belgium and Portland, and I mean, really. But the point is not to make a big impression. What matters here is that this church gets right what God wants us to get right. Does everybody understand that? And what getting right means is all of us here knowing how to operate under the influence of the Holy Spirit when we get together. See, the Bible says when you come together, everybody's got something. And you know, the thing that you have, even if you're not aware of it, is so critically important. Amen? It's critically important. If it is not released, somebody will go without. Imagine being invited to a, what do you call it, a bring and share. And you come to the bring and share, but you don't bring. You're expecting everybody to share, right? What if everybody had the same attitude? You all come hungry and go very hungry. Amen? But you see, my experience when you have a bring and share is always more than enough. And that's the beauty of church, if we get it right. So you see, we're speaking out prophecy. And I tried to make the point that the term prophecy shouldn't be this high-blown thing where you change the face of the earth because of your great prophecy. Now listen, that can actually happen. But like I said, with the things of God, there's a starting point and there's a movement and there's the ultimate. Does everybody understand that? You don't start at the top. If I decide now I'm going to play rugby, do I go to the Springboks and say I want to be in on the next test match? You would love to see that, wouldn't you? You know, really. But before I do that, I must eat 10 of Shanae's donuts because I need a sugar rush. I wouldn't last 5 minutes. Do you know that? I'd probably collapse having run onto the field. And God help me if I got into the scrum. Oh, my soul. They'd take me off. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to be ready for that. But I did play schoolboy rugby and enjoyed it to a large extent. You understand? The same with the things of God. Don't try and prophesy to the nations before you've started to prophesy at home. But don't sit around saying, oh, when I prophesy, I'm going to prophesy to the nations. Start where you are, otherwise it's never going to happen. Amen. Does everybody grasp this? It's a process. And I shared last week and we gave opportunity for people to prophesy to one another, which is beautiful. That's the way to start. Personal prophecy. And remember, all this personal prophecy is about is taking the courage to think to yourself, what do I believe God wants to say to this person? Amen? When you have that question in your mind and you open yourselves up to God and you say, Lord, what would you like to say to this person? It's funny how thoughts will come to your mind, and as you now grow in this, you realize that's the Lord just giving you the nudge. Okay? But like I said last time, don't expect Him to give you the whole story. Okay? This is a key to growing in God. You always have to launch out in faith. You see? And it's like the tap. You don't expect all the water to come out at once, do you? But when you open the tap, what is there comes out, and because it comes out, it draws, you see, the next bit. And that's prophecy for you. And I shared this last week, and everybody, most people agreed with me. Once they maybe were a bit timid to get started, but once they got started, stuff happened, and it was quite hard to actually stop. You understand? Okay. So you see, that's a wonderful starting place. And we're going to do more of that later on. I'm going to give an opportunity. But we're going to take it just to another level. Okay? And it's all going to tie up with the fact that God, that the Lord Yeshua loves the church. Now remember, when we spoke about prophecy, that passage in Corinthians, Paul explains the heart of prophecy, right? It must do what? These three things. It must edify. It must exhort, or it must comfort. Do you remember that? Edify means to build up. Okay? Exhort means to cheer on, so to speak. And comfort means to draw alongside. Simply stated, that's what it means. Now you see, you and I are in a situation where you want to prophesy over somebody. You don't have to go and think, oh no, is this exhortation? Is this, you understand, comfort? Or is no, just think to yourself, will this educate? Will this build up? Will this comfort? Will this, you see? We don't have to get so technical about it. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's not so technical that you have to stop and think and go through the whole motions. No. We have to flow with the Spirit. But the heart of it, the heart of it is love. That's what I'm trying to pass on. You see, if you love the person that you're prophesying over, it will automatically educate, will it not? It will automatically exhort and it will comfort. Right? Can you see that? Now, what I want us to do is move beyond that, you see, because it's all right to pray for somebody and, you know, it's just between you and them. Can I just say something? The Bible also says that whoever prophesies, let the prophets judge. All right, it speaks about that in Corinthians. Now, I need to explain something. You see, a lot of people are too scared to prophesy because they think, is it God? All right, that's the big question. I know a lot of people say, I dare not say something that's not God. Can you see the fear? All right? And they feel that they're sounding so very holy. Now, the truth of the matter is, all right, even if it isn't God, he wants you to rather go ahead and do it. All right? But the chances of it not being God are very slight if you actually love the person. Amen? Let me just say it this way. When somebody prophesies over you and you just sense that there's no anointing on it or whatever, you instinctively know that it's not God. All right? You instinctively know that. And it's not time to get all phased. Amen? Because that is the nature of this business. Very often when we are learning, sometimes it may not very well be 99% God. Now, let me explain something. Whenever you and I prophesy, the truth of the matter is that all of it, 100% of it, is partially God and partially ourselves. Amen? It is partially one or the other. As we develop more and more, we're able to move away from our own thought patterns and tap into God. Okay, can you see that? But inevitably, there will always be a percentage of it which is actually us. And that's the way God has made it. Do you know why? Because you and I, bringing our own personality into it, make it of a different color, so to speak. All right? And in that way, the chances of reaching more people are much greater. All right? Can you see? Everyone is different here. There are some people that my personality, when I prophesy, it antagonizes them. Did you know that? Other people are happy with it, etc. So it's not my job to antagonize people. But somebody else can probably prophesy over them and with their personality, reach them better. Does everybody see this? That's the way God made it. I don't know if you have any of those puzzles at school. Do you know those? That's a little ball and it's got different shapes cut into it. What do they call that? You won't know the technical name. Doesn't matter. But you take a shape and the kids got to fit it in. I love them. A shape sorter. I love them. I can sit and do that all day. Nobody will pay me to do it, so I'd rather not. But you've got this piece, and you look, and you see the shape. Oh, it's a cross. Plop. How fulfilling. Oh, it's a triangle. But it's a square. No go. Now, what I'm trying to do with that illustration is show you that there are different pieces for different people. Does that make sense? That's how God created it. So if we came to church and expected the great man of power for the hour to prophesy for everybody, it's going to be all right, but it won't be as effective as it could be, is what I'm trying to get at. All right, now, that's personal prophecy, okay? Let me just say this, that we have to develop this gift. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift. Timothy was an experienced man of God, and he's telling him to stir up the gift. What does that tell me? It's quite possible to let the thing go to sleep, you see. That's why we've got to continually stir it up. You see, give opportunity and, you see, let me put it this way. If you are prepared to stretch yourself, God will meet you. Amen? You might say, I've never prophesied. Great. Well, listen as hard as you can and do the best you can. You know what will happen? Something will happen, all right? Just have the courage to speak. But don't be afraid, because you see, built into all of us is the ability to discern. I mean, the classic example, you know, freak-faced Frank goes up to beautiful Belinda to prophesy. Guess what he's going to prophesy? God has told me that you have got to marry me. Now, if you are beautiful Belinda and freak-faced Frank comes and prophesies over you that, is that God, do you think? Just ask him how much he's got in the bank and then you say, that's God. I'm joking. But what am I trying to say? It's obvious, is it not? You see, the danger of this whole thing, let me explain it. The danger is that you and I, being humans, all right, can use God as an excuse to manipulate people in the way we want them. God has told me. You understand? Now, you see, we've got the ability to discern. Because somebody says God has told them, does that mean God has told them? You understand? But there's no need to throw this whole thing up. I know churches that have had a thing like that happen. They will never, ever have prophecy in the church again. Do you know that? That's what the minister says. We'll never have it in my church. Won't have it in my church. Now, you see, this whole church business is messy business. Do you understand? It's not all cut and dry. But we have to take the risk. We have to launch out there and trust the Holy Spirit. Amen? But you see, it takes maturity to be able to prophesy with the right attitude, the right heart attitude, and it takes maturity to receive prophecy. Does everybody understand that? We've got to grow in these things. Amen? Yes, you will have occasions. I've had it many times where people have spoken over me the biggest load of rot. According to this great prophetess, I'm supposed to be walking the dusty roads of Africa. Did you know that? Evangelizing all those lost tribes out there. How's that for a prophecy? But these are not the dusty roads of Africa, are they? Amen. They're becoming that way, so maybe she knew more than I thought. But what am I saying? God hadn't spoken to me about that. You understand? I didn't have any desire to do it. Does everybody get that? And let me just say something. When people give you a prophecy of that nature, it should confirm what God has already spoken to you and I. Amen. Don't fall into the trap of running after some prophet or prophetess, as the case may be, to get a word from God. Because you know what you will do? You'll find the prophetess or prophet that gives you the word you want to hear. Did you know that? That's happened more times than I can tell you. You and I need to be able to hear God for ourselves. But the prophetic voice is powerful over our lives when it confirms. But let me just say something. When that voice comes and confirms, you know that you know that you know it's God. Amen. But before that happens, in between, there's a whole lot of kinds of prophecy. Education, information, encouragement. I've had the most beautiful prophecies by people they hardly even know. They didn't give great insight into my life, etc., but they said such kind words that encouraged me to keep going. Amen. And so you see, we need to be open to that. If we have bad prophecies, that's part of the course. We just, you know what it's like? When you eat fish, what do you do when you eat fish? Do you cut it up like a steak and just chomp it? What do you do when you eat fish? You eat the flesh, you spit out the bones. Does everybody get that? And in this whole business of prophecy, expect it to happen. There are young Christians out there starting out. I'd much rather they mess up, but at least give it a go. Amen. Does everybody hear the Spirit of God? But let me just say, what makes it so easy is the fact that we need to have love in our hearts. And if we have that, you don't want to manipulate somebody to give money or to marry you or whatever. Amen. There was one great minister of God, and it's quite sad, really. I went to see him operate here in Johannesburg East. I've never been to such a powerful meeting in my life. Literally, the presence of God was there to heal. I saw people just backs being straightened out. I mean, it was just awesome. You could just sense the power of God. It must have been exactly like being in one of the crusades or one of Yeshua's ministries, where the power of God just swept through that place. This great man from America, he made a big mistake. He began the whole business of tele-evangelism. He was one of the first great tele-evangelists. And he used to have prayer meetings all over America in one day. But I don't want to mention any names, but there he is. And on one occasion with this big tele-evangelist conference, meeting, where he's got the big auditorium and his people, you know, they're going nationwide. And it came upon him and he said, there are businessmen out there that God is telling you to give $5,000 to this ministry and things like that. It came upon him. Can I just say, the first time perhaps when he did it, it worked. My soul, they had more money than they knew what to do with. And there was an anointing on it. But you know what the problem was? It became like a standard thing, you see. And it started to manipulate people. It wasn't inspired by God. Well, that whole thing collapsed. Can I just tell you now, that building doesn't even exist anymore. Really, it doesn't even exist. And his ministry's moved to some other state and he's hardly got a following. Okay, but you see, we don't have to look at that, so we mustn't get involved. We must be available to be used by God to prophesy. But notice something, it starts with prophesying over somebody in church, just like we did last week. The next stage, though, and this ties up with God loves his church. Amen. You see, it's all very well prophesying to an individual, but now we want to move a step further and encourage us all now to speak to the church. Amen. Prophesy to the church. In other words, the gathering of believers. Amen. Now you see, once again, don't get a fright. It's just the same thing really, but just with a different, how shall I say, impact. Because it's not just one person, it's the whole body. But think of it this way, all right? Don't think of the church as a whole lot of people. Amen. The key is to think of it as his body. Amen? Think of it as his body. What do you think God wants to say to his body? What does he want to say to his body? And remember, it'll always do what? Edify, build up, right? It will always encourage and always comfort. Can you see that? So if I stand up and say, you bunch of filthy sinners, God is angry with you. And if you don't repent, he's going to punish you. If you are sitting in the congregation and somebody says something like that, what is the correct response? Spit out the bones. Do you get it? Don't take it. Are you all hearing me? Because things like that do happen. People come into a church and very often you see now's an opportunity, a person that nobody notices, nobody sees, they've got a major problem in and they want to be seen. Right? They want to be heard. That's not the reason to prophesy. Amen? But it happens. So what do? Oh, because that might happen. Let's not have any prophecy. No, let it happen. Amen? Let the person get it off their chest. Are we all going to die? It will affect us, but if we understand how this thing works and we realize we don't have to receive it. Amen. A lot of people have said, God has told me, and I realize it's not God, so I don't bother what God apparently told me. You get it? Are you all hearing me? But you see, it takes a bit of guts, you see, to be able to launch out and allow it to happen. And if people are mature and educated, what do we realize? When we prophesy, we need to speak encouragement. And you see, it can take the form of a Bible verse. It does say, if you have a Bible verse, share it. What will that do? Edify. You understand? The word will edify. Right word in season can touch somebody's heart and make all the difference in their life. Is everybody understanding this? Please. It's so important. We need to be a mature church. But you see, the heart of it all, if we realize something, God loves his church. Amen? He loves his church. And our job is here too. Build her up. Amen? Our job is to encourage her. Our job is to exhort her. And let me just say this. If the church flourishes, guess what? We all benefit. Amen? If the church is happy and healthy, we all benefit because salvation comes out of Zion. But if Zion is neglected, the walls are broken down, if people just couldn't care, if the mentality is what's in it for me, and if there's nothing in it for me, I'm not bothering to go. I admire congregations that have gone through difficult times when there's been leadership issues. I'm not prophesying that over us, but I've admired congregations where the congregants there, when there are leadership issues and the leadership probably failed miserably, have stuck it out. You understand? Stuck it out. Just stayed. Haven't said, oh, well, don't go to church. And stayed there, stayed the course, prayed it through for the sake of what? For the sake of who? You understand? The body. Do you get it? The body. When people have said, no, this is the body of Christ. We're not, this has happened. We accept. We've got to work through it. But we're not just bailing out. We're staying by this body because we're part of it. There's a covenant relationship in this fellowship. One of the greatest lessons that I was ever taught was by a Methodist elder, I think he was. And I was friendly with a few people in Methodist congregations when I was first born again. I was young, I knew nothing. And at that stage in Cape Town and in the Eastern Cape, there was the charismatic revival was breaking out amongst Anglicans, the Methodists, all those churches. And some churches went ahead with it, others didn't. And I was in this whole thing, and there was this one church in Cape Town which had opened up to the Holy Spirit and was really on fire. And I dashed off there, you see. And I was speaking to my friends that belonged to another congregation that hadn't really got it yet. And, you know, the elder said, well, you're very blessed to go to that church. And my thinking was, well, why don't you go as well? You understand? That was my thinking. Why don't you just leave this lot? What I was learning from that is that man was committed to where he was. You understand? And was praying for this to happen in his own church, but he was staying the course. Why? Because he loved the body. Amen? If I can teach us anything, and it's sad in our society, because this love has dwindled. It's because of our society which speaks that you get what you can for yourself. Amen? And you see, you can't treat the church of God like a supermarket. Amen? You go to Pick and Pay and they don't have something that you want, so you just, that's fine. You go to Checkers or wherever else. Amen? And because this one is closer now, I'm going to, that's fine because it's, you understand, understandable. You are a consumer and you need to get the best deal you can, obviously. I mean, if Checkers sells rotten meat and all that, I'm not going to go there, and I shouldn't. You get it? But you see, the church is different. I mean, it's not a consumer environment. I mean, the church is his body. And notice, he loved his church and gave himself for her. Do you see that? The Lord gave himself for what? The church, the body. Amen? Can you see that? And if you and I have that mentality that we'll do anything, we'll give our lives for the body, what will we automatically do when we pitch up to church? What should we want to do? Amen? We should want to come with something to give. Amen? We should want to have spent a bit of time with God and saying, what can I do to bless your body? Amen? I hope you're picking this up, you see. Once we start to have that mentality, let me tell you, God moves in our midst. Amen? God moves in our midst. What kills prophecy? What kills preaching? What kills everything to do with God when you and I get in the way? Amen? When a man stands up here and wants to impress everybody with how well he's preached, that kills it. Do you know that? What should be the attitude? What can I say here that will be of encouragement, that will bless, that will educate? You understand? Even if maybe I've got a revelation that's gone way beyond It's not the time to share that great revelation now. Now's the time to share what is necessary for the people that are here. Amen. Whatever is necessary for here. And you see, by the same token, you and I are coming to the body of Christ, our part of the body. What should be our heart attitude? What can I give? You see, and when there's an opportunity, be able to stand in the gap and say, Father God, is there something that you want me to say that will bless my brothers and sisters because it's your body? And you see, and once we absorb that mentality, it's amazing what God will start to tell us. Did you know that? It's amazing what He'll put in your heart and you'll say, where did that come from? And it's a rhetorical question because you'll know it didn't come from you. It came from Him. Why? Because He loves His body more than you and I could. And all He's looking for is a vessel that will communicate that love in the right spirit. Amen. Can you see that? So when our spirit is right, God's heart joins with our heart and together we bless. Let me tell you, if we have a whole group of people that are intent on just blessing like that, I won't even have to preach. Amen. Just sing one song and everybody bursts out into prophecy. Prayer, prophecy, praise. When we go on now, we belong to this Acts 22. These people are all versed in this lot. These are experienced men and women of God. And I tell you what, we very often just go together into the room and they start to worship. They start to praise. They start to sing. It's quite funny when they start to sing sometimes. They've got this one song about, I don't know what it is in their language, but then all the big one, the Mafuta Mananis, they go and look under the chair here and they go and sweep under the chair. I don't know what they're singing about, but it's so hilarious. But I tell you what, there's such power in it because it's so exuberant. And then when they've stopped and they've sung with singing the Spirit for hours on end, and then people start to prophesy and pray, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. You see? And these are not people that are versed in theology. You understand what I'm talking about? These are people that are in the rough end, out there in the sticks, where they haven't got two pence to rub together, but they've got God. Amen. I mean, they've got God. And when they get together, they enjoy their God. Amen? They enjoy their God, and everyone's educated and available to be used by the Holy Spirit. That's what we want here. Amen? You know what? People might think this is so different from normal church. Amen? This is not normal church. Let me tell you, this is church. What we regard as normal is actually dysfunctional. I hope you're picking this up because we're going to do this, and I'm asking you to be brave and not to be scared and not to be, how shall I say, hesitant, all right? But what's the heart attitude? Love the body. Love this collection of people. Love what God is doing here. Want to do everything you and I can to build what's going on here up. Not to be a drain, not to be a dead cell. I mean, you understand? But be alive stone. Be ready to share, to give. Amen.